إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد إخوتي وأخواتي في الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته إن شاء الله we'll continue the explanation of the book المنتقى by Sheikh Majduddin Ibn Taymiyyah alayhi rahmatullah. The Sheikh says Babu Tahrim Akli Jild al-Mayta wa Indubigh. This chapter discusses the prohibition of eating the leather of an animal even when the leather has been tanned. The sage, the leather of eatable animals is permissible to make use of it if the animal is slaughtered. There is nothing wrong in that. You can eat the leather, and this is common with our people here in Nigeria. In some countries, they do not eat the skin of animals. That is the leather, what we call mama. They don't eat it. In some of the Arab countries, when they slaughter an animal, like a cow or a ram, they just remove the leather and throw it away. It is the real meat they are after. But it is not haram for one to eat it. That is when you slaughter the animal. But when the animal dies without slaughtering, maybe it dies after falling from a height, or maybe it is harmed by another animal and it dies as a result of that. Maybe it is strangled to death. So such an animal becomes maita. And it is not permissible for us to eat maita. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةُ وَالدَّمُ, to the end of the verse. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam let us know that we can benefit from the skin of a dead sheep, as we have it in the hadith of Maymuna radiallahu anha. This was transferred to other eatable animals by most of the scholars. That all eatable animals, if they die of themselves or they die non-shari death, that is, they died without being slaughtered, that we can benefit from the skin, though we cannot eat the meat, but we can benefit from the skin. So they transfer that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said concerning the sheep of the Mawla of Maymuna, that was given a ram, and the ram died, and the people threw it away. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah akhastu bihabaha wa antafa'atun bi. Why can't you take the skin and benefit from it? As for the skin of the non-eatable animals, we said benefiting from it, either by wearing it, by sitting on it, what is preponderant is that it is not permissible to do that. Even when you turn it and we say it is pure, but can you wear it? Can you sit on it? We said what is preponderant is that it is not permissible. What is the evidence? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam naha an juludi as-sibaa. He forbade the skins or the leathers of as-sibaa, the wild animals that are predators. In some of the riwayat, he said na'a an rukubi julud as-siba, he forbade riding on the julud as-siba. Some and lubusul julud as-siba. He specifically mentioned an-numur in some of the ahadith. So that's why we said what most scholars are upon is that the wild animals, particularly tiger, lion and the likes, you cannot wear their skin. You cannot wear them, you cannot sit on them. Some scholars try to tell us the reason. They say because of it shows a kind of haughtiness, pomposity and things like that. So that is clear. Now the question now is that can we eat the skin of the eatable animals that has been tanned? We know we said the eatable animal that dies of itself. The skin, if tanned, we can benefit from it. Does the benefit extend to eating it? Some scholars said yes. From among the Shafi'iyah, there are people who hold this view. Ibn Qayyim in his book Zadul Ma'aj knocked this position with extensive talk. That the fact that you are allowed to benefit from it does not remove it from being maita. It's still maita. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Hurrimat alaykumul maitatu. So we must have clear evidence that says particular maita we can eat. As we have it in that of the samak, we have it in that of al-jaraj, that of the fish, and what? That of the locust. So saying because you have turned the skin of the eatable animal that dies of itself shows you can eat it like mama. No, we said you can only eat the mama when the animal is slaughtered. If the animal is not slaughtered, the mama is what? Is not eatable. Yes, you can use it for shoes, you can use it for something else, according to what is what? What is preponderance? But using it as something that you can eat, arguing that with the tanning it has become what? Pure. Since it has become pure, you can eat it. So these most scholars kicked against. They said it is not correct to argue this way. how this is clear. So the Sheikh Ali Rahmatullah said, Babu Tahrimi Akli Jildil Maita Wa In Dubiga, the chapter of the prohibition of eating the leather of the dead anima, Wa In Dubiga, even if it is tanned. And Ibn Abbas in Qal, from Abdullah the son of Abbas, he said, Matat shatun li sawdata binti zama'ata, a sheep that belonged to Sauda, the daughter of Zama'a, died. Faqalat ya Rasulallah, she said, O Messenger of Allah, Matat fulana tanisha, she said, O Messenger of Allah, so and so a sheep has died. Faqal, the Messenger of Allah said, Falawla akhastum mas'a, why can't you take the leather? Qalu ana akhudh maska shatin qad matat, he said, can we take the skin of a sheep that has died? Faqala laha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, innama qala Allah ta'ala, كل أجل فيما أوحي إلي محرما على طاعم يطعمه إلا أن يكون ميتة أو دما مصفوحا أو لحم خنزير. So he read a verse that Allah instructed his messenger to tell the people that I do not see or know in what has been revealed to me what is haram for somebody to eat, except if it is a dead anima or a stewed broth, or lama khinzir, or pork. وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَتْعَمُونَ, and you are not eating it. إِنْ تَتْبَغُوهُ تَنْتَفِعُوا بِهِ, if you can it, you can benefit from it. فَأَرْسَلَتْ إِلَيْهَا وَصَلَقَتْ مَسْكَهَا, so Sauda sent someone to the dead sheep. فَصَلَقَتْ مَسْكَهَا, and the person removed the leather, the skin. فَدَبَغَتْهُ, and it. فَتَخَذَتْ مِنْهُ قِرْبَةً, and she took from it a water skin, hatta takharraqat indaha, until it became what? It became torn or broken with her. Rawahu Ahmad bi isnadin sahih. So this is what the author rely on to tell us that we cannot eat the leather of the dead animal that has been tanned. Yes, we can benefit from it for other things, but not up to the level of what eating it in, under the argument that since it has been tanned, it is pure. Yes, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the dabhu purifies it, but not that it is no more meita. It is still meita, only that it removes the najasa. And we know that when we are asked not to eat something, not everything that you are asked not to eat is what? Is najis. We say, for instance, some of the hasharat, like animals that do not have blood, for instance, that is, doesn't have flowing blood, like fly. Fly is not najis. It's not najis. But somebody cannot start eating flies. Somebody cannot start eating what? Mosquitoes. They are not what? They are not hayawanat, that's what? La adamu sa'id, that have flowing blood. But despite that, you can eat them. They are tahira. They are pure. But you can eat them. Poison is pure, but you can't eat it. So the fact that the leather or the skin of eatable animal that dies of itself, are we allowed to benefit from it by tanning it, using it for shoe and the likes, clothes, water skin? Does not mean we can eat it. Does not mean we can eat it. I hope the argument is clear. Then the Sheikh says, Maja fi nasri tathir dibag. What comes concerning the nasr, that is the abrogation of the purification of ad-dibag. You know, he has brought a hadith that when you tan the skin of eatable animals, they become what? Pure. The Sheikh is now bringing evidence that abrogated that ruling. He said, and Abdullah bin Uqaym, from Abdullah bin Uqaym, I've quoted this hadith before. قال يسيد كتب إلينا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قبل وفاته بشهر. Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم wrote to us a month before his death. Allah تنتفي من الميتة بإهاب ولا عصب. That you people should not benefit من الميتة from dead animal بإهاب ولا عصب. Not from the leather nor from the nerve. Rawahul Khamsa, the five recorded this or reported this. Walam yazkur minhum al-mudda ghayru Ahmad wa Abi Dawud. It was only Al-Imam Ahmad and Abu Dawud that mentioned the mudda, the time. You need to say that bishahrin, a month before his death. So the reports of Allah did not include before a month before his death. وقال الترمذي, الترمذي said, هذا حديث حسن. This is hadith حسن. Now hadith حسن to Al-Imam al-Trimidhi does not necessarily mean it is authentic. Does not necessarily mean what? It is authentic. So the meaning of hadith that is حسن, so maybe similar to hadith that can be used, if maybe there are other evidences that support it. So this is the istilah of Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi alayhi rahmatullah, that the scholars made efforts to understand what he really meant by the word hadith, that is what? That is Hassan. At times he may say Hassanun Sahih. So the hadith Hassan of al-Tirmidhi is not the same as Hassan as what other scholars. When other scholars say the hadith is what? Is Hassan. Now this is clear. When they say it is Hassan, they mean its authenticity is not as good as that of what? Sahih. It's not as strong as that of what? Hadith that is said to be Sahih. When Imam al-Tirmidhi says this hadith is Hassan, so it is hadith that what? That can be corroborated. Huh? When is the hadith Hassan and Sahih? So scholars, they try to what understand, or they try to understand what he meant by that. So Walid Darakutni said, "Anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam kataba ila Juhayna." The Messenger of Allah wrote to the people of Juhayna, "Inni kuntu rakhastu lakum fi juludil mayta." I have given you a rukhsa concerning the skin of dead animal. فَإِذَا جَاءَكُمْ كِتَابِي. When this letter of mine gets to you, كِتَابِي هَذَا فَلَا تَنْتَفِعُ مِنَ الْمَيْتَةِ بِيهَابٍ وَلَا عَصَبٍ. Stop benefiting from a dead animal, the skin of the dead animal, and what? And the nerve. Well, al-Bukhari, Imam al-Bukhari also recorded fi tarikhi, in his tarikh, an Abdullah bin Uqaym, from Abdullah bin Uqaym. قال, he said, حدثنا مشيخة لنا من جهينة. Some of our elders in Juhayna told us, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kataba ilayhim, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wrote to them, Allah tentafir min al-maytati bi shay. Don't benefit anything from the dead animal. You see the ahadith, that of Al-Bukhari, that Abdullah ibn Rukim said, the one Al-Bukhari reported in his tarikh, that of Darakutni, likewise what was reported by the Khamsa. Now, Majduddin ibn Taymiyyah alayhi rahmatullah said, wa aktharu ahli al-ilmi, most of the scholars, ala anna dibagha mutahirun fil jumla, they are of the opinion that, generally speaking, when the skin of an animal, that is eatable animal, when the skin of an animal, eatable animal, that is dead, eatable animal that is what? That has died. When the skin of an animal that has died, the eatable animal that has died is tanned. One can benefit it. One can benefit from it, that tanning it purifies it. لِصِحَةِ النُّصُوصِ بِهِ, because the texts that have said this are authentic. وَخَبَرُ إِبْنِ أُكَيْمِ, as for the report of Abdullah ibn Ukaim, لَا يُقَارِبُهَا فِي الصِّحَةِ, is not close to other ahadith, other texts that allow us to turn the skin of dead eatable animals. I hope this is clear. You know, we have been bringing ahadith and ahadith that you can turn, referring to what? Giving example of the Shah of Maimuna or the Shah of Sauda. We have brought this ahadith, many ahadith, authentic, Bukhari, Muslim and the likes. Now we are confronted with the hadith of Abdullah ibn Ukaim, either the one reported by Darakutni or the one reported by Abu Dawood and the likes, or the one reported by Al-Bukhari. Now these ahadith are conflicting. So some scholars have taken this hadith to mean, have abrogated the other ahadith. So the Sheikh is now telling us that most scholars, they are upon the fact that the ahadith talking about the tanning of the skin of eatable dead animals, I hope it's clear. When I say eatable dead animals, don't understand it to mean what there are. We are talking about animals that you can eat if they are dead. No, what I'm saying is animals that are eatable, but they are not slaughtered, they died in a way that goes against what Islam approves. So the Sheikh says, وَأَكْثَرْ وَالِدِ عِلْمِ عَلَى أَنَّ دِبَاغَ مُطَهِرٌ فِي الْجُمْلَةِ. Most scholars are upon the opinion that, generally speaking, tanning purifies those skins. لِصِحَةِ النُّصُوصِ بِهِ, because the texts talking about this are authentic. وَخَبَرُ إِبْنِ عُكَيْمِ, the report of Ibn Ukaim, لَا يُقَارِبُ أَفِي الصِّحَةِ, is not near the other ones in terms of authenticity, وَالْقُوَّةِ, and in terms of strongness, لِيَنْسَخَ, to abrogate them. قال التِّرمذي, Tirmidhi further said, وَسَمِيتُ أَحْمَدَ إِبْنِ الْأَسَنِ يَقُولُ, I heard Ahmed, the son of Al-Hassan, saying, كان Ahmed bin Anbal يذهب إلى هذا الحديث. Al-Imam Ahmed bin Anbal used to have the opinion of the hadith of Abdullah ibn Ukaim that one cannot benefit from the tanned skin of dead animal. that is eatable. One cannot benefit from it. Based on what Abdullah ibn Hukim said, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wrote to them, "La tentafi'u min al-mayta bi ihabin wa la 'asab." That Imam Ahmad used to hold this opinion before. What happened next? He said, "Thumma taraka Ahmad hadha al-hadith." Then Ahmad abandoned this hadith of Abdullah ibn Hukim, "Lamma tarabu fi isnadi." Because the people, they had ittirab, that is, they were not balanced in the shin. حيث روى بعضهم فقال عن عبد الله بن عكيم عن الشياخ من جهينة. Some said from عبد الله بن عكيم from some sheikh from جهينة. Some said from عبد الله بن عكيم himself. Some said from the people of جهينة. So know that there is ittirab. So Imam Ahmad later left that position and went to the position of the Jumhur. So he left this. Some people among the Hanabila, they still hold on to that opinion. Why some said, okay, tan skin of eatable animals that has died, we can make use of it, fill yabisat. In things that are dry, you can use it for things that are dry. Take for instance, when after you have tanned it, maybe you make it as a bag that you put some things inside. But using it as something that you drink water from, no, they say you can't use that. The only skin that you can use for that is skin of animal that you have slaughtered. But the skin of animal that has died of itself or died in a way illegal, so you can benefit from it. You can benefit from it. Some of them say this. Some among the Malikiya hold this opinion. And a lot of Malikiya said you can make use of it. You know, I said the other time, at times, when discussing some fiqh issues, it may not be okay for you to be saying the Malikiya said this, the Hanafiya said this, because among the Malikiya themselves, there may be serious difference of opinion. So when you say the Malikiya said this, somebody may bring some among the Malikiya who have said something contrary to that. So and there are instances where what the later Malikiya are upon is against what the earlier Malikiya are upon. There are instances when the position of Al-Imam Malik or Al-Imam Ahmad will be contrary to what the later Hanabila are upon. So this is very, very important. And that's why at times when some scholars who are not Malikiya, for instance, if they are saying this is the position of the Malikiya, let's assume An-Nawawi, for instance, is quoting what the Malikiya has said on the matter. You know, An-Nawawi was a Shafi'i. So if An-Nawawi is quoting the Hanabila, for instance, or is quoting the Malikiya, or quoting the Hanafiya, his quotation may not be correct. Because he may only see what some Malikiya have said, and take it to mean what the Malikiya are upon. The same thing may apply to somebody who is a Maliki. Imagine that Ibn Abdul Barr is quoting the Shafi'i, quoting the quotation may not be what? Accurate. You see, it's something that is very, very, it's asking somehow. It's asking. So somebody must have read wide before you can what? Accurately quote. So it's difficult. But most of the time it may be easy to say this man, what the Malikiya upon is what. So, and this will make me comment on something. Now, when people talk about the Sufiya, when you talk about the Sufiya, for instance, you see, in the recent time now, the scholars of Sunnah, or the students of Sunnah, they've been refuting a statement made by one Sufi man in the Yoruba land here. So you see some people trying to classify the Sufis. Some are condemning the Sufi outrightly. Are you aware of this? Now which one is correct? Condemning Sufi outrightly or trying to classify the Sufi the way Ibn Taymiyyah has done? Some of the Salaf, of the past scholars before Ibn Taymiyyah, they condemn Sufi outrightly. Some try to watch, they try to classify that are good Sufi who are watched in line with the teachings of the Quran and Sunnah and the adab of the Sharia. So the fact that maybe people call them Sufi, so that is not an issue. You give them name Sufi, people call them Sufi. So what we look is, are they doing things that are against the Sunnah or not? If yes, then you attack them for doing that. If no, then the fact that they call themselves Sufi, it's not an issue. So they ascribe them to Suf, the people who are wearing woolen clothes. What's that? Some people are called what? This is where I'm going. Some people are called Malikiya. Some people are called what? Hanabila. Some people are called Shafi'iya. Is it the Prophet Allah that said you should be calling some people Shafi'iya, Hanabila? Was Abu Bakr a Maliki? Was Umar a Shafi'i? So if you want to condemn the use of what? The word Sufi, you should condemn the word use of the word what? Malikiya, Shafi'iya. Because Abu Bakr was never a Maliki, was never a Shafi'i. I hope it is clear. So, but battling names, you won't battle names. Yeah. Yeah, okay, we say they are all students of Imam Malik, Ahlan wa Salam. Let us see what you have. So when they display what they have, if we see things that are against the Sunnah, we'll throw it away. Imam Malik alayhi rahmatullah, that they ascribe themselves to. If he says something that is against the Sunnah, are we going to take it because it is Imam Malik that said it? Leave it. So it will be rejected by Imam Malik. His statement establishes this. مَا مِنَّ إِلَّا رَدٌّ وَمَرْدُودٌ عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا صَحِبَ هَذَا الْقَبْرُ. Not to talk of those who ascribe themselves to Malikiyah. I said earlier, I said there were some things that Imam Malik himself said that were in line with his Sunnah, that some of the later Malikiyah deviated from it or deviated from them. Imam Malik Akira was the Akira of the Salaf Sali, the Akira of Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman. But today, most of the Malikiyah today in the world are what? Ashaira. Most of the Malikiyah today are what? Ashaira. So most of the Malikiyah today are Mubtadi'ah. Are you with me? Most of the Anafiyah today are what? Mubtadi'ah, because they are Maturidiyah. They are Maturidiyah. So most of the Shafi'iyah today are what? Are Ashaira. And you will be refuting the Ashaira, but you will say the Malikiyah, the what? Right. When we say the Malikiyah state, we are what? We are looking at it from the angle of what? Fiqh. If you are to take them from the angle of Akida, they are what? They are Mubtadi'ah. But Imam Malik was never an Ash'ari. His Akida was the Akida of what? The Salaf. I hope it is clear. So if they ask you, what is the ruling of the Malikiyah? You say what? In which aspect you are talking about? Because if you are to look at the later Malikiyah, you say what? They are Mubtadi'ah. Generally speaking, the way you say what? The Sufiya are what? Mubtadi'ah. If you look at what most of the later Sufiya are doing, you say what? They are Mubtadi'ah. But it's okay if you look at the earlier Sufiya, a lot of them were upon what the Salaf were upon. So if somebody say, okay, let us differentiate between some Sufi and some Sufi, there's no problem in that. Just as you say what, let's differentiate between what? A Maliki and a Maliki. Not every Maliki is a Mubtadi'ah. But a lot of Malikiyah today are what? Mubtadi'ah. Because the Akida is what? The Akida of Ashaira. They will write it in their books. Take for instance, there is this small book. They call the, what's the name? Huh? No, this small one like this. Ad-Durusul Awaliyya. Ad-Durusul Awaliyya, when you read the first aspect, or before you go to the fiqh aspect, what was it establishing? Huh? Akida Sharia. They will teach you this is what we learned while you are watching. In Ibtidaiya, we learned Durusu Awaliyya. We learned Akida Sharia. So the one who wrote that book was a Mubtadi in Akida. Simple. So you can't tell me that all the Malikiyya are upon the Salafi Akida. No. Some Malikiyya are upon the Salafi Akida. And when you say some, you are referring to the earlier ones. Those who came later, they are what? They are upon the Ash'ari Akida. So when you say some Sufi are what? They are upon the Akida of Ahl Sunnah. Maybe you talk about the Sufi of what? Of the past. The majority of the later Sufis are what? So the whole matter goes beyond putting on what? Woolen garment too. It goes beyond putting on woolen garments. All foolish, stupid, kufu akira are what? Are in their own akira. So you don't need to tackle somebody that says we have different types of what? Sufi. But if you see somebody who is not, whose akira is not okay, trying to say there are different types of Sufi, just be careful. It's trying to bring in destroyed Sufi people. He wants to use what even Tamir and some have said in order to bring those people inside. You can ask him, please name some of the good Sufi people today. When he give you example, you bring example of those destroyed ones. So this is just by the way. So, the Sheikh Ali Rahmatullah said the opinion that Imam Ahmad Ali Rahmatullah later switched to is that he abandoned the hadith of Abdullah ibn Ukayn. نعم باب نجاسة لحم الحيوان الذي لا يؤكل إذا ذبح. I hope the ترجمة is clear. The chapter that has to do with the impurity of the meat of the animal that is not eatable, even when slaughtered. And سلمة بن العكوة قال لما أمسى اليوم الذي فتحت عليهم في خيبر أوكدوا نيرانا كثيرة فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سلام بن العكوة said on the day that خيبر was conquered in the evening, so the people started cooking, so they lit up fire in many places. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هذه النار. The messenger of Allah said, why are you people lighting fire? على أي شيء توقدون? على أي شيء توقدون? That is, what are you cooking? قالوا على لحم. They said, we are cooking meat. قال على أي لحم? He said, what meat? قالوا على لحم الأمر الإنسية. They said, donkeys. فقال, the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, أهرقوها, pour them away, واكسروها, and bake the pot. فقال رجل يا رسول الله, a man said, oh messenger of Allah, أو نهرقها ونكسلها, can we pour the meat away and wash the pot instead? فقال أو ذاك. The Messenger of Allah said, then you can do that. Of Ilazin, for Allah Silu. In another wording, it was said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, wash. So this hadith tells us that the meat of the donkey is what? Is not eatable. The meat of the donkey is not eatable. So this is what he said, it is najis. Said it is najis. Don't forget, we said not everything that is not eatable is what is najis. But in the case of the donkey, he said his meat is what is najis. Now, the donkey, we ride on the donkey. And when we ride on the donkey sweats. The sweat touches our garment. Huh? The sweat touches our garment. The saliva of the donkey, huh? Is it filthy or not? If the donkey drinks from the bowl of a water, has that water become impure? The way we say concerning dog and pig. So can we say as in the donkey is filthy, or we say the meat is not eatable? Do you get the question? We have treated something like this before. Something may not be eatable, but not necessarily that the meat is what? Sorry, the animal itself is filthy. The animal itself is what? Is filthy. So if you look at this, wallahu alam, we can't say the donkey itself is what is filthy. Why? Because the donkey falls among what? It's just like the cat. The cat in a tawafina alaykum or tawafat. How is this clear? So who say the cat is what is filthy? So the saliva of the cat won't be filthy, the saliva of the donkey won't be filthy. But the meat, you can't eat the meat. You cannot eat the meat. Is the urine of the donkey filthy or not? Is the dung of the donkey filthy or not? The dung, the dung of the donkey is filthy. The urine is also what? Filthy. But the saliva is not filthy. Just like human being, the saliva of human being is not filthy. And what? The urine and the feces of human being are filthy. You cannot eat human being, you can't eat donkey as well. I hope this is clear. So if somebody slaughters a donkey to eat, we say what? Well, you can't eat donkey. Why? Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked them to pour it away. Now in that hadith, you see that somebody suggested something and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam approved it. Scholars say that's an evidence that at times the ijtihad of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam might change. Originally, he asked them to what? Destroy the meat and watch the pot, so that they finish everything. But when somebody brought that suggestion, so he accepted it, because it was the meat that he wanted them to destroy, to pour away, not the pot. So the pots can be used in another way. But for them to know the gravity of that thing, he asked them to break the pot as well. But when a person brought that suggestion, he accepted it. But at times, somebody will bring a suggestion and the Messenger of Allah will reject it. Like when intoxicant was made haram, somebody spoke to somebody. Messenger of Allah asked him, he spoke, you know, silently to somebody. So what did you tell him? He said, I asked him to go and sell it. Messenger of Allah said, "Inna alladhi harrama shurbaha harrama bi'aha." The one who has prohibited drinking it has prohibited its sin. So at times the companions will say something or will do something and you will approve. And at times you will reject their approval. So we can see that. Then you can also benefit from it that people can bring suggestion. The fact that you are a leader does not mean they cannot watch. Those who are below you cannot suggest to you. They can suggest some things to you. You can watch. You can benefit from them. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, "Washawirum fil amr," discuss with them on issue. So issue that do not have clear text, that do not have clear text from Allah. And the Messenger of Allah was given the permission to watch, to seek opinion of the people. He will do that. He will do that. So and that's why no matter how great you are, still give room for what? Benefiting from people's opinion. So the companions will sit with the Messenger of Allah, particularly the senior companions. And the Messenger will ask them, "What do you think we can do here?" They will bring what? Suggestion. And at times you will accept, at times you will not accept. So that was a time that he asked for suggestion because there was no wahyu coming. He felt he should also seek the opinion on matter concerning the way to relate with those captives of war. Some suggested that maybe they should collect money from them and what? Release them. Umar had watched a contrary suggestion. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam favored the opinion of those who say they should collect money. So verse was reviewed to approve what? The suggestion of Umar or and some others who did not, who believe those people should be killed. So this we should know. So with this, وعن أنس قال أصبنا من لحوم الأمر يعني يوم خيبر فنادى منادي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله رسوله ينهاكم عن أكل لحوم الأمر الإنسية فإنها رجس أو نجس. نعم this last hadith saying فإنها رجس أو نجس. رجس أو نجس. So if you want to go by this hadith, it means the sweat, so to say, of the donkey will be what? Will be filthy. The saliva of the donkey will be what? Will be filthy. If you want to go by this last hadith. But the practical, what has been the practice is that the companions, at times they ride the donkeys, even the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even into the Kaaba, for instance. So this made some scholars to say the Ritsiya here is not the Ritsiya of what the way we treat the what's it called, the pig and what the dog. I hope it is clear. So because the practice has been that they ride on the donkey. And definitely there will be sweat of the donkey. The donkey also drinks from the bull. So the rich here is not the rich like that of the dog or that of the pig. So wallahu a'lam. So with this we come to the end of the issue that have to do with the julut. سبحانك اللهم بحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك. Now, slaughtering of a dead animal is useless. The animal is dead already, so you don't need to slaughter it. What one does is just to remove the skin. So if one slaughters it, it doesn't change the ruling. It still remains what? Dead animal. So what you do is, the cutting will be the cutting of what? Removing the skin. So if it is from the neck, one cuts it and one starts the remover from that place, so no harm. So but slaughtering it is useless. Wallahu a'lam.
Question here, that is, can we use this dung
of an eel? Now, the dung of eatable animals, which I've said several times, what most scholars are upon is that they are pure. Their urine is pure. Their dung is pure. Their urine is pure, their dung is pure. Except for the Shafi'iyah, who have the opinion that the urine of the animals and their dung, of the eatable animals and their dungs are not what? Are not pure. Are not pure. So, we mentioned the argument. The argument is that what is known is that the bowl is what? Najis. But the Jumu'ur, they said, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the people who fell ill in Medina, he asked them to drink from the urine of the camels. That shows it is what? It is pure and not Najis. Who can remind us of the argument of the Shafi'iyah on that, concerning the evidence used by the majority that the people of Medina, the people who fell sick in Medina, those people who fell sick in Medina were allowed to drink the urine of camel?
The argument was
Now the argument is that that's Dorura. Is for Estadawi, is for medication, and it is what is necessity. So that's the argument of the Shafi'iyah on that. But wallahu alam, the urine of eatable animals and their dungs are pure. So if the urine of a cow or a goat drops on your body, you can pray with the cloth without washing it. Likewise, you are slaughtering the animal and the feces, if the dung touches your garment, you can carry on according to what most scholars are upon. How this is clear. Now, the non-eatable animals, like the pig as he has mentioned, so their dung, their urine, according to most scholars, is impure. Is impure. I mentioned the other time that Al-Imam al-Bukhari had what? A reservation for that. He said it's only the urine of human being that is not pure. Because of what? If you look at the Tarjama, when he was talking about the case of the man who would not do his inza or his tibra from his urine. So he said what? Bowling in sand. That is, Al-Imam Bukhari did Tarjama as what? Bowling Al-Insan. So some of the Shura said that shows it does not consider the urine of what? Other animals. Huh? But what most scholars are upon is that the urine of other animals that are not eatable is filthy. We are not talking about the saliva now. Majority or a lot of scholars of the saliva of those animals are what? Is pure. With the exception of dog and pig. You know there is difference of opinion. You have touched all this and try to remember some of these things. So just like human being, the urine of human being is what? Impure. But the saliva of human being is what? Pure. The feces of human being is impure. The saliva of human being is pure. Huh? So the dung of a pig is impure. The urine of a pig is impure. Now the question is, can we use the dung of a pig in addition, the dung of the feces of human being? Huh? Can we use them as manure? What is correct, wallahu alam, is that you can use it. As long as the manure is not tasting, it's not being tasted in what? In the plants that what grow from it. Is it clear? So you can use it. That is what is correct. You can use that of the pig or that of human being, you can use. But on condition that the plant that grows from such is not tasting what? That impurity, the feces, is not tasting or it's not smelling it. If it smells it, then it becomes what? Mutanajisun bih raji al-khinzir aw bi azratil insan. How this is clear? So, but if it doesn't taste it, so it does not matter. It is only when he tastes it. And that's why scholars talk about the animal that he referred to as Jalala. Animal they call Jalala is an animal that's eating feces. Is eating feces. Take for instance, maybe a cow eats feces of human being, for instance, or the dungs of pig and the likes, and it grows. Can we eat it? Huh? Now we go according to what is with here. We go, does that animal smell that feces? If yes, then it has become Jalala that the Messenger of Allah warned against. But if it's not smelling from it, then so some people ask birds that eat of fishes that feed on what, things like that, or birds that feeds on things that, if they taste those things, maybe the meta and the like, so then we give them their ruling. But if they do not taste that, then we say we can eat them. It's just like something changing from one condition to another. We give it the ruling of what it has changed to, which is called what? Istihala. Let's assume that a pig dies here now, and when it dies in the mamlaha. That is a land that anything that falls there quickly changes to salt. That pig, when it dies, it changes to salt. Huh? It decomposes and it changes to salt. Can you take it? Huh? Yes, you can take it. According to what most scholars are upon, you can make use of it. Because now you are making use of what? Salt. So the milk that you drink from the animal, you know, it changes to what? To something bad inside the belly of the animal. It's gotten from what? From the dung inside. It's extracted, and it goes, yes. I hope it is clear. So as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, min bini farsin, adamin, labanan, khalisan, sa'iran li, sharibin. So you get it. Ibn Taymiyyah alayhi rahmatullah has continued his fatawa in Majmu' al-Fatawa, discussed about this extensively. So, wallahu a'lam.
The question here has been answered a lot of times. So, there is a... I'm going to do it from this place. It's not saying our calf, also...
Calf. The buying and selling of cat is not permissible according to the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he forbade and bear in here the sale of cats. Now we know that cats, we make use of cats. We make use of what? Cats. So some scholars said we can sell cats. In fact, majority of scholars said we can sell cats. So the fatwa goes against what? The apparent meaning of that hadith. But how did they interpret that hadith? They said that hadith is talking about cats that is not useful. It's not useful. But if the cat is useful, then we can watch. We can sell it. We can sell it. If the cat is what is useful. But wallahu a'lam, it is good to remain with the apparent text. Selling of cat is what is haram. But the buying of cat is what may be halal. Because the Sharia allows us to make use of cat. And if you cannot find somebody that will give you free of charge, then you are mutarru ila shira'ihi. You are forced to buy it. Then it will be halal for you to buy. Just like what the dog that the Messenger of Allah said we shouldn't sell. Na ansamani al-kelb. So it forbade the sale of al-kelb. Now the riwayat that says what? Illa kelbadari. Except the dog that is used for hunting. So that some scholars authenticated, some scholars of hadith said the addition is not authentic. So they said, hence you cannot sell dog. But when you can't find the person to give you dog, you want to hunt, or you want to use it to guard your farm, and your maybe your livestock, and there is nobody to give you, can you buy? You can buy. The barura. So it is the one that collects the price that will be sinful. The same thing can be said of the cat. The one that collects the price, that will be sinful. The same thing can be said of blood. The Messenger of Allah forbade the sale of blood. Today, the people donate blood. There is nobody to donate blood except you pay money for that. Can you pay when you can't get the donation? The answer is yes, the darura. But the one who collects the money is the one that is what? Sinful. Because he is not allowed to sell blood. Just as he's not allowed to sell any part of his body. So he cannot sell blood as well. Wallahu a'lam. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك